Hello and welcome to Brothers Less Grim. I am Mark and with me is Jeff.
Yo!
And if you like monsters, you are in the right place. On every episode of our show, we improvise one story. We do this by playing the card game Once Upon a Time. But we do use our own set of house rules, so if you want to know exactly what we're doing, check out our episode zero. In this often funny yet bleak story, we have a city coming to terms with a massive crisis. So sit back, relax, and enjoy The Last Town's Best Plan.
So we have a village, and it's surrounded by a wall to keep all of the monsters that live outside of the village walls out. And this village, after the monsters have arrived, have come to believe that they might just be the last of these villages. And there's a guard watching the wall at night. And he's surprised to see that there is a person running towards the village. And he rings the bell, pulls out his bow and arrow, and he's just like, sees this person, and is just like, what's your business here? And I'll pass it to you there.
Okay. The person starts speaking, but not in a language that they understand. So there's a lot of gesturing, and the guy wants to be let in, a lot of yelling back and forth, trying to figure out what the other person is saying. The guy outside obviously just wants to be let in. Guard talks to his superiors, and is like, what do we do here? Protocol says never open the gate, because, you know, monsters are quick. So, never open... Well, I mean, in a situation like this, you would never want to open the gate. I guess there are limited circumstances under which you would open the gate. Usually to let people out, though. Outsiders coming in is dangerous. The head guard says, let them in. We'll ask around. We'll see if anybody is able to talk to this guy. We have scholars. Maybe somebody will be able to figure out what the hell he's saying. So they let him in, and they bring him to this, like, stone room, very dark. They put him in there. I guess it looks like a jail cell or like a dungeon cell. Maybe like a step up from that. It's not, there's no bars, but, it's a very spare, barren kind of room. And, of course, before they do that, they take all of his weapons away. Because he had... Did you say he had a bow and arrow?
The guard had a bow and arrow.
Oh, guard had a bow and arrow, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he would have a bow and arrow as well, I think, and then maybe...
Okay.
A sword and a dagger. Feels like that's kind of the level of weaponry we're going with.
Yeah.
You know what? No, I'm going to give him a spear instead of a sword.
Okay.
I mean, you could obviously have both, but I think...
For a second, I thought you said, no, I'm giving this guy a gun.
That would have been really fun.
She's like, whoa.
He's from a different place. No, I'm going with spear instead of sword. Still has a dagger. No shield, interestingly enough. And he has some provisions. And a knapsack, which they... I'm not going to get into exactly what's in there. Because it could be cool, I don't know. So they lock him in there. Lock him in there, and the head guard starts making his calls. not phone calls, but just kind of, I'll say he sends a guard out to deliver a message to someone who would be higher up than him. I don't know what kind of government they have.
But let's go with a baron.
A baron, yeah. Yeah, that feels about right. So he sends, I'm going to say, one guard to the Baron's palace and then one guard to the university. Over to you.
Okay. Guards come back. Like, let's say 2 days pass.
2 days. Okay.
The guard, let's go with Jerry.
Jerry?
Jerry the guard. He goes back to his duties, and he's just waiting. He kind of starts to forget about the guy who came through the gate when he has to fight like an ogre that's coming near the gates and is like hitting the walls with a club, and he has to like shoot it down with his bow and arrow and his guard friends. He gets a little distracted and kind of forgets about the guy. Until another guard from the Baron's palace. This is a very retreat. Like, this guard is in much finer attire than the city guards, because he's the Baron's personal guard, and it's just like, Jerry. And Jerry, which one of you all is Jerry? And eventually Jerry's just like, that's me. I'm Jerry. It's like, you've been summoned to meet Baron
Von Benders.
Kennedy. No, Benders.
Bandersnipe? Huh? Bandersnipe.
Bandersnipe?
Von Baron von. Baron von Bandersnipe.
Yes, Baron von Bandersnipe. So German. I love it.
But it is pretty German, yeah.
And Jerry's like, I guess I'll go with you then. And he goes, he's taken to the Baron's palace, and he goes through the main hall, and there is the Baron von Benderschmidt lounging quite comfortably on his chair. And Baron von Benderschmidt is actually fairly young and is obviously the heir to the barony from his much more accomplished father, who was the one who built the walls after the monsters started appearing. And so this is the world that the young one has grown up in, and kind of just is a little spoiled still. There's still class in this world, though it's probably a little less extreme because it's one village.
There's not that many gold coins.
Yeah. But relative to the economy of this guy's very wealthy. And there's also a couple scholars who are older from the university. And they remember before the monsters were going. And there's also the guy who ran in, and he is currently in shackles. And Baron von Benderschmidt asks, like, so my scholars tell me that this man is what we used to refer to as a Hegelander. They were our enemies before the monsters showed up. So Jerry, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, what kind of name is that?
Thank you, sir.
Of course. Why would you let our ancient enemies into our fine, fine city? And I'll pass it to you there.
That's a good question. So I'll take you through it. So I was at the gate on the wall, had my bow and arrow. It's just kind of looking out. It's a nice day, pretty pleasant. It was like one of those days that's like cold, but not too cold. You know what I mean?
Jerry, get to the point.
Okay. Sorry. So I'm nervous. I talk a lot when I'm nervous. I have this anxiety thing my doctor was saying. Okay. Now getting to the point. I see you're angry. Okay. So the guy, he came running up. I didn't know what he was saying. And I was like gesturing at him, being like, what do you want? Where did you come from? Are you cool? Like, I didn't know. It was communicating with gestures. And then he just wanted to get in. So I talked to the head guard Jerry's not the head guard, right?
No, he's
okay,
not.
Okay, good.
he's just stationed on the wall at night sometimes.
Okay. He's what at night?
He's stationed at the guard at night.
Okay.
Okay. Or the wall, excuse me.
Okay. So I talked to the head guards, you know, wanted to see what he thought about it. And he said we should let him in. So I let him in. I did not know at that time that he was our ancient enemy. If I had known that, then I feel like I might have still let him in. Because, like, it's just one guy, you know, it's not like an invasion. It's not a giant horse or anything. They're not doing anything tricky. It's just, he might be the last of them, you know? I don't know. I mean, if we can't take one of our enemies in, then we're no better than them. You know what I mean? Or maybe I wouldn't have let him in. I see you're angry.
Yeah, have you considered that maybe he was sent here as a spy to see how we are faring, to see if they can destroy us once and for all, Jerry?
I did not think of that, no. I was thinking maybe he was, like I said, maybe the last of his... I think it's because he has, like... He looked really tired and had... looked like he had a couple cuts on him. So he seemed a little frazzled. Like he had like escaped or something. Maybe he's an enemy of theirs and he's like trying to join our side. You know what I mean? Like we really just don't have enough information to say what's right here, like how we're supposed to treat him. I know I'm just a regular guard and these are not the kinds of decisions that I should be making. But I mean, in my defense, you brought me in here. You know, you're asking me my thoughts, so I'm giving them and I hope that's okay. So... Is that okay? It's okay.
You talk a lot, Jerry.
What was that?
You talk a lot.
Okay.
Yet you don't seem to say anything.
Oh, I thought I said a bunch of things. I thought... Is this about the weather? Because like that cool thing, it was cold, but not
Jerry.
Cold, but...
Just stop speaking before I execute you.
Okay, can I go back to the wall now?
You may for now. But I may call upon you again soon.
Okay, thank you, sir. Very good, sir. So Jerry goes back to the wall. And he goes up to his guard friend, and he's like, whew, Baron von Bandersnight is a tough crowd. You know, I was talking a little bit about the weather, and he was not having any. And it's like, I'm there thinking, like, what, do you not... experience weather? Are you so rich that you don't experience weather? I don't know, it just seemed like a little bit silly to me, but I know I talk a lot and you're walking away. And Jerry is alone on the wall. Over to you.
Okay. We're going to have Baron von Bandersnight and his couple of the professors and his advisors now, like, sitting around. And von Bandersnight's just going to be like, oh, do you guys think I was intimidating enough for Jerry? I don't know what I'm doing, really. I never wanted this. Anyway, why'd you guys think it was a good idea to bring him in to, like, scold him about that? I gotta say, like, they may have been our enemies in the past, but, like, we don't really have much interaction with them or really anyone since, you know, all of them ogres and trolls and creatures of the night. And that really big snake, remember the big snake? How that that came out of nowhere. Yeah, I don't know why we necessarily care about the Hegelanders necessarily as much. And one of the older scholar types is just like, I mean, before I was a professor, I fought in the war that we fought against them, and I was young, and I still have nightmares. You know, I'll be having a pleasant dream about flowers, and then next thing you know, hordes of Hegelanders just kind of show up and destroy those flowers and my farm and also my family. Just like, oh,
Hegelanders.
Okay. Like, I understand your personal trauma, sir. He still calls him sir. This was one of his tutors when he was growing up, and he still has a lot of fear from this grizzled veteran professor guy.
With PTSD.
And it's just like, I think we should execute this Hegelander. I'd be honored to do it myself, Baron. He's like, nope, I don't think that's necessary. Does anyone here happen to speak the language of the Hegelanders? And there's silence for a while. It's like, anyone at all? More silence. It's like, maybe you guys know someone who might. I don't have all the professors here. And I'm gonna have. I'll leave that open. It's just like, we'll let the professors and students at the university know if there's any Hegelander or someone who could speak the Hegelander language, that they should let you know as soon as possible in order to translate. And it's just like, listen, okay. Yeah, do that. We'll just put the guy. We'll put this dude back in the cell. Like, he can't speak our language at all. And the guy just responds with gestures and like kind of holds up his hands in the shackles a little bit and shakes them. And it's like, he like speaks in his language in a very frantic tone. And it's like, okay, that's not helpful.
I hope he's not saying there's like a giant monster that destroyed his people and is coming this way.
Yeah, that would be really
nice to know if he was saying that.
Yeah. Could you, like, draw a picture, maybe?
Yeah, someone give him a crayon.
Okay. Can you draw? What's happening? Like, why are you here? And I'll pass it to you there. I like the idea that the Baron can't, like, maintain an intimidating thing for long.
Yeah, he's not an intimidating guy, but he's trying. So they give the prisoner, the Hegelander, writing utensils and paper. And initially he's just writing stuff. He's writing like letters or notes and things. So they go in and they have someone draw a picture and then hand him a piece of paper. It's like, you draw a picture, you draw a picture. And he starts to draw. And I don't know what he's going to draw. So I'm going to go elsewhere.
Okay.
So they're trying to get someone who speaks the language. And there's no one at the university who knows it. Very few people know the history. Their history is not taught in their classes, right? Well, hold on. How much do they know? Because, like, the guard didn't know. But this guy...
Yeah, the guard didn't know. Like, the person who has a living memory of the Hegelanders is a very old man. And it seems like the Baron himself was born after this stuff.
All right, so they've kind of erased them from the history books. So only the oldest of the old still have the memory. Okay, so, in fact, most students don't even know the word Hegelander. Baron von Bandersnight grows increasingly impatient and or it's not impatience, it's just kind of desperation to figure out what this guy is saying. So he kind of puts out a general word through whatever their version of a newspaper is, which I imagine is just a kid yelling on the street or something. It's like extra,
hear all about it.
Except he says all the news.
Yeah, I said hear all about it.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So it's like, hey, anybody who knows this language, come to us. And in the slums, the worst part of the city, word gets back that they're looking for somebody who knows how to speak Higelander. And there's a great reward promised for anybody who would. And there's this one little family that's like, do you think it's safe to go? And this family, they're refugees. Old in the world, the war, they fled their original country and just kind of tried to blend in, and they've done an excellent job of disguising themselves as circle townies or whatever we're going with for these guys. Probably not circle townies, but as far as I know, they don't have a name. So
yeah.
This is a family that knows the language, that disguise themselves. And they're wondering, should they step forward? Over to you.
Ultimately, if they're refugees, I mean, they're probably at this point second, third generation. But they still like maintain their culture. The second generation, so it's the parent, I guess. I'm gonna say like the grandfather and grandmother were refugees. They came in. They had a son who was relatively young but remembers Higelland fairly well. He is married to a sickle towner. I'm trying to say circle towner without it sounding
quite
as
sounder.
The sickle sounders from sickle sound.
Sickle sound. Yeah, I mean
sickle sounders.
Oh, I was just going with sounders. Soundies for short.
Soundies. So he's married to one. He feels bad necessarily. I don't think he's necessarily told his wife, because that would probably cause some trauma. But he has taught his kids some stuff. And I'm going to say that his older daughter, who's probably like, let's go, 20. She knows the language, can't really speak it that well, but can understand it really well. Well enough. She's going to be the one who's going to go. She's kind of rebellious and headstrong. She's going to go forward and tell the Baron von Bender Schneck.
Bendersnight.
Bendersnight, that she can indeed speak the language. So she goes up. It's like, I know Higelander. And the guards are just like, their fancy palace guard outfits are just like, so you wait here. And he goes in, tells the Baron. He's like, all right, you can come on in. And the Baron is like, back in the chair, doing his casual intimidating look right now. He's he did some breathing exercises before letting her in. And it's like, so you can speak Higelander? And she's just like, yes. And it's like, can you explain this to me? and there's a very crude image of, let's go with a giant, and like makes the walls of this city seem tiny, and like it's kind of hard to like really tell if that's actually what's happening, but it seems like maybe a giant destroyed their city, but it's a bad drawing. This guy, the Hegelander, is not very good at drawing in the first place, and being in shackles certainly didn't help. And she's just like, I cannot explain whatever you are holding at all. Sorry, sir. And he's just like, well, then what good are you? And it's like, I came because I can speak Hegelander, not because I can interpret art. And it's like, you will speak when spoken to, Missy. It's like, you are speaking to me. Quiet. All right. Bring the Hegelander in. And the Hegelander is brought in, and I will pass it to you there.
Okay. So, they converse. Let's see. Older daughter asks the guy, so who are you? And my friend and all that. And this guy, I think he's just going to basically say what was on the drawing, you know? There was a giant monster, far bigger than anything they have ever seen before. And it stepped on their town, killing most of their people. The ones that didn't die fled to the hills. He is a messenger. He has been sent here to ask for help. Will you? They're hoping that their ancient enemy will unite against this common enemy. Okay, and this is communicated to the Baron. Baron is like, whoa, giant monster, size of a mountain. That's some serious stuff. Scholars think it's all BS, and this guy's a spy, and he's just trying to trick the Saunis into sending supplies and weapons and things. They're just trying to get a jump. So the scholars don't buy it. Over to you.
Okay. Von Bandersnein.
Bandersnipe.
Bandersnipe. is just like, interesting. Okay.
okay. Intimidating. I'm intimidating.
Okay. He points at the girl's like, you are dismissed, young lady. And she's just like, what are you going to do? And she's like, you are dismissed.
What if you have follow-up questions?
The guards? And like the guards like grab her and like take her outside.
You're just going to bring me back.
And like she's taken outside. And he's just like, oh, thank God. I couldn't keep that look, an intimidating look, going for so much longer. That was the real reason that I needed her out. Alright, I can just be myself around you all.
He's just like touching his face and rubbing his cheeks and just like, ugh, they're sore.
What's kind of funny is I was doing that while I was like saying that, like, as in character. I rubbed my face. She's like, oh, okay, anyway. Alright, so you guys don't think it's real? Like, at all? And the grizzled professor is like, the Hegelanders will always used elaborate ploys playing to our humanity, and then they would just slaughter us as soon as they were close enough to.
Is that true? Can anybody else vouch for that? Because like I'm kind of going off your word here because I wasn't there. Do we know that?
Anyone? Guards just kind of like shrug. They don't know. The other professor's just like, I mean, it was a war. Atrocities were done on both sides. But I do believe that, you know, there's maybe some more pressing issues. And
just feeling out the room here. What do we think? Is it possible for a monster to be that big? Anybody seen anything like that before?
I mean, the biggest monster that we saw was that troll that was maybe, 20 feet tall? Our walls are 30, so perhaps it was just a troll and their walls were insignificant. Perhaps it's an exaggerated tale. There's no need to believe that our walls can't withstand anything that we have seen since the beginning of all of this. The grizzled professor is just like, I don't know, the Eaglelanders that I fought were quite the masons. I don't think their walls would fall to any mere troll. I need a smoke. I'm getting flashbacks. He excuses himself. He's like, this is not a good time. I don't even know if I can trust that guy, if I'm being honest. Should I just let him smoke, or does that make it seem like I'm not intimidating? Like, people just can leave my court whenever. And, you know, it's kind of a meandering conversation, and eventually, the Baron is just like, okay, I need to send someone to check on the Eaglelanders, because if what this man is saying is true, then we need to know how to prepare. So I think we should probably send, what was that guard? The one that was like,
Jerry, sir.
Yep, thank you, sir. Yep. Let's send Jerry, and I guess we're gonna have to send that girl because someone's gonna have to talk to the Eaglelanders. So let's get them back in here. Give me like a half hour to like just rest, and then I'll be intimidating, and they won't be able to say no. Okay, so get those two. We're gonna go send them to check on the Eaglelanders. And I guess we'll have to maybe send this guy as well, because he knows where they are. So that's great. Anyone upset with that plan at all? I'm always open to feedback, as you know, except when I'm pretending to be intimidating. Then, like, you know, I sometimes like someone to, like, speak out of line so I can, like, shut them down. Like, you cool with getting hit by, like, speaking out of line in this next meeting? The guard's just like,
How hard are we talking?
A stage punch. But, like, you're gonna have to sell it. Can you do that?
Do I get paid more?
I'll give you the turkey leg at the next feast.
Deal.
Okay, cool. But, like, let me see your pain right now, because it's gotta work. Like, you gotta sell it.
Well, I don't want my cheek to be red before, because then they'll know that we practiced.
Fine. But you're telling me that you can do this, right?
Maybe we'll do, like, a slow one? Just, like, don't hit me hard here. Just, we'll do, like, a walkthrough.
Like, guard, a trial. Just do a trial hit
just
right
like
here,
Just, like, a okay? slow motion trial.
Okay.
Just to get the timing, like, all right. The order of it and all that.
Cool. Just make sure that you know the faster timing when it's for real.
Yeah, so, right now we're just doing it slow, but we'll cool. speed up.
Cool. Slow motion hit right now.
Okay.
Someone, a guard, like, does, like, a very slow motion hit against this person.
How was that? We good? We feeling... Do one more?
Yeah, let's do one more. That like, the face was great, but I didn't hear anything. I feel like if you were actually in pain, you'd be, like, having some verbal
reaction. You want to...
Yeah. Okay, take two. Let's go.
Okay.
And here comes the punch.
Hold on, sorry, pause. Does my character know that the punch is coming? Like, should I flinch, or is this coming out of nowhere?
I mean, I'm going to say, guard, hit that man. So okay. That will be
okay,
the signal.
So there's a verbal, there's a line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then, I guess what I would do is I'll try to, like, look a little nervous, and then I'll, like, look straight ahead. Like, I know, like, I've been hit 20 times before, and I know that I'm not supposed to step out of line when I'm getting hit.
I love it.
Okay.
Okay. Let's practice. Guard, hit that man.
Who? Hmm.
Okay, I love it. Perfect. This is great. You mind leaving the room real quick?
Sure.
Go on.
Sure.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, guys, that guy's a terrible actor. I'm going to do the signal, but I do need whichever guard who is going to hit him hard. Are we clear on that? Cool. We can bring him back in.
Can I be the one to hit him?
Yeah, totally. I love your enthusiasm. Like, it makes me feel like you're actually going to do it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, he fucked my wife, so.
Oh, use that. Cool, let's bring him back in. Yeah, we're gonna have a guy hit you. It'll be fine. Just like we rehearsed. So Jerry and the girl are summoned in front of the Baron, and I will pass it to you there.
Okay. I admittedly got a little muddled in there. So the plan is one of the guards is going to speak out of line?
Yeah, in order to, like, the guard who knows that he's going to get hit but thinks it's going to be rehearsed is going to speak out of line.
Okay.
So Von Benderschnicht can order another guard to hit him in order to show strength, in order to convince Jerry, this girl, and the Hegelander to go find the Hegelanders and make sure that they are telling the truth about this giant monster.
Okay, great. So the trio of our heroes, I guess, are in here. And Perry's like, thank you for inviting me back, and then he starts talking, and then the Baron kind of does like a hand signal and is like, quiet. And it's like, I brought you here because you three are going to go to the Hegelland homeland. I guess that's just Hegelland. You're going to go there. Perry? No, Jerry? Your job.
Yep, you said it right.
Yeah. We had a Perry in our last story. Right? Wait.
He was in the warm-up.
Okay. I was like, wait. Okay, so we have a Jerry here. Jerry, your job is to assess whether or not their town has been stomped by a giant the size of a mountain. Hegelander, your job is to make sure they're going in the right direction. Kind of, young lady, your job is to translate. Okay? Everybody good with that plan? And they're all like, yep, we're good. Yep, that sounds fair. I like how there's one and a half of each of us. There's, you know, there's like one Hegelander and then one Cirque Soundsy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the girl is kind of like one half of each. So they're fine with the plan.
And then what, that guard is just like, I have a problem. I believe that you should send a whole battalion.
And the Baron's like, he just snaps his fingers. And then the guy, the guard who volunteered to hit him, just smacks him hard. Just, punches him.
That was really hard, man.
That was harder than we thought it was. We practiced this.
I want two turkey legs.
Yeah. And at this point, the trio is like, wait, what's going on here? And the Baron realizes things are amiss. So he snaps his fingers again. and the guard gets punched again. And he knows.
He's like, no, that's not what I meant.
Wait, who said that?
I imagine the Baron.
Oh, no, I thought the Baron. I was saying the Baron wanted that.
Oh, okay.
Punch him again. shut him up. He's blowing it. Chomp, chomp, chomp. Okay. So, provisions are given to the trio. They are given horse and carriage, maybe two horses and a carriage. And they're told to avoid ogres and trolls. And good luck to you. Huzzah.
All the guards and just scholars go, huzzah!
Okay, over to you.
Okay. So they leave. And the girl, let's go with Zelly.
Deli?
Zelly.
Zelly.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's like, what was that about with the hitting of the other guard?
I don't know. I noticed that too, and it did seem strange. I thought something might be going on there, but I wasn't quite sure. Because he said, like, that was too hard, as if, I don't know, he knew he was going to get hit. And I didn't realize that, like, I don't know, it just seemed strange that he was going to know that he was going to get hit. Sorry, I'm Jerry, I don't talk a lot.
I'm Zelly. I am the translator, and I don't talk as much. Do I have to translate everything you say to him?
Whatever you think is best is fine with me, as long as we can understand each other. I guess in certain circumstances, like if what I'm saying is important, like if you feel like all of it is important, then you should translate all of it for maximum clarity. But in a situation like this, you could probably just like shrug your shoulders and say, oh, he talks a lot, and he knows that he talks a lot, so it's fine. You might not even need to say that much. I don't know. That might be too much. I don't know.
She says in Higelander, this guy's kind of a talkative idiot.
And the Higelander's like, I can tell.
So they go into the carriage and they leave the city. I feel like the Zelly would go and say bye to her family first. Seems like they're important to her. But her father and mother now have to, like, talk about, you know, like, this massive secret that he kept from her for their whole marriage. Both the secret part of being a Higelander, which she wouldn't care about, times have changed, and also... teaching the kids his culture and language without letting her know, which is a bigger deal to her personally than his ethnic origins. And he's not doing the best job explaining it away, but you know they'll get through it. And as I was just like, well, I'm going on an adventure off in the monstrous wilderness.
Probably gonna die.
Love you both. Bye. And she leaves, and they get in the carriage, and then they go through the rarely opened gate into the wilderness full of trolls and ogres and possibly other monsters like giants and maybe who knows what else. The Higelander says that they're gonna need to cross the river. Overall, their journey will probably be, let's say, 100 miles. So that's a couple days. And Jerry's just like, 100 miles? I've been in Circle Town my whole life. I can't. Never had to walk 100 miles.
He does that Samwise thing where it's like, if I take one step more, this will be the farthest I've ever been from the Shire.
You just left the gate.
If I take another step now, it's still, it's like a new record.
Are you going to say this every step?
I talk a lot, so I might say it more often than you'd like me to say it. Because it's just blowing my mind how far away from the gate I am. I mean, it's crazy. Like, I've guarded the gate my whole life, and I've never actually been outside it. I didn't know those walls were kind of, like, chipped, you know? But it makes sense, you know? Because, like, the trolls.
You can still see your coworkers. You can wave at them.
Oh, I should. And, yeah, I'm going to wave. Hi, bye, Tommy.
Tommy does, like, a little hand heart. It's like you're close enough to see that. Yeah.
Yeah, isn't it mind-blowing how, like, I've just been in there my whole life?
All right, let's go.
It's insane.
I hope we get killed by ogres at this point. It will at least be quiet. You don't mean that. I might actually mean that.
The Heagle-Lander, like, plugs his ears. He's just like, I find his voice annoying. Can you tell him that?
I think I'll say it for both of us. Your voice is annoying, Jer. I guess I'll just be quiet for a bit. Just being quiet here in the carriage. Let's say that they get like 2 miles and then an ogre attacks. And...
Did they just die? Did you just kill them? Did you?
No. Like the ogre like just like smashes against the carriage and like knocks it over, and then they're like they're still alive, and then they get out, and Jerry grabs his bow and arrow because although he's nervous and talkative around people, he's a very good marksman. That's why he's such a great guard, and he starts shooting arrows at the ogre who's still swinging his club, and eventually the Heagle-Lander, who's been given back his spear. Will throw the spear and hit the ogre right in the eye. And he pulls the spear out of the dead ogre, and he says something, and the Azalea will translate it, and he's like, he says that, you know, he was able to get all the way here for a reason. He knew that maybe the carriage was a bad idea, and going on foot will be, you know, quieter, and they'll be able to see monsters coming more easily. And Jerry's just like, okay, well, this is the farthest I've ever been from home. I'll pass it to you. Should we look at endings maybe?
Yeah. Okay. All right, how you looking?
I got one that I kind of like that I could make work.
Okay. I'll wait in reserve.
Okay.
There's like one that I could use, but like, it's I don't know about it. So, no carriage. They release the horses. They pack as many provisions as they can to their bags. And they set out on foot. And, of course, they're walking through ruins of cities long gone. And, of course, like regular woods. And even the ruins themselves are more wild than urban at this point. They're just completely overgrown and, you know, ruined. like everything's like half destroyed and it's mostly green anyway. So they're walking through just like elephant graveyards, but for people. So just like urban graveyards. It's quite a lot for both of the people who have not been outside the city. So you know that these places existed because they went to school. And they heard, like, all right, so initially we lived in cities that were kind of spread out along the river basin. And we had a fairly large kingdom that went the length of the river. But then the monsters came, and the cities were destroyed. And eventually we had to find secretive places that, for whatever reason, the monsters didn't like going to as much. We still get some. We still need walls. But there's less. So we ended up in our city. But now, we're face to face with our past. We're walking through it. And as they're walking through it, I'm going to say a bunch of winged monsters that can fly. Fly overhead. It's like a full flock of them. And they're like squawking and squealing. And the Hegelander whispers something. And Jerry's like, what did he say? And the girl's got like this kind of spooked expression. And she's like, he says they're fleeing the giant. He saw a bunch on his way over. There were more before. Over to you.
Okay.
So they're just like, they're proceeding with caution. They don't want to be seen by these flying monsters. And eventually, as they're going through some wild, overgrown ruins of the city, it gets dark. They find some shelter. They're a little too frightened to build a fire, but it's a cold night, and they get through it.
It's like cold, but it's like a little bit too cold. I wish it was not so cold.
Yeah, like if it was slightly warmer, it would be nicer, you know. And
go to sleep, Jerry.
Okay, yep. Tired time for you. I get it, Sully. Good night, Sully. Good night, Hegelander. I should really learn your name. I can at least learn your name, if not your language. Good night, Jerry. Yep. Do you guys, like, dream at night? Good night, Jerry.
Jerry.
And Jerry can't sleep, but eventually he still kind of talks, but everyone else kind of falls asleep, but he's just kind of talking to himself, and he looks out the window, and he thinks he sees in the distance, like the moon is kind of near the horizon, and he sees it kind of like disappear and then reappear. And he thinks, it's just like, he's pretty sure he just saw a giant, like, walk past near the horizon and, like, block out the moon. And then disappear in the darkness. And he's just like, starts hyperventilating. He's like, Sel. So he wakes her up. She's like, what? It's just like, I saw the giant. She's like, what? And she looks out the window. She doesn't see anything. It's just like, I don't see anything, Jerry. It's like it blocked out the moon. It was huge. And the Hegelander wakes up and it's just like, says in his language, like, what's happening? Zell says, like, he thinks he saw a giant and it blocked out the moon. And the Hegelander is just like, yeah, we'll do that. And Jerry's just like, what did he say? He's like, yeah, he'll do that. It's like, goodness, that is, it's real. There's a giant that is massive. Do we even need to tell the do we even need to find the Hegelanders? Like, we could just,
yeah, mission go back success, and, right? We did, we verified the claim.
Yeah, we can just go. back and tell them that we need to prepare for something like this. And Sells and he translates that to the Hegelander, and the Hegelander's like, no, we gotta get my people back. I need to find them and bring them back. You guys need to be able to take the Hegelanders in. Like, they are not safe where they are. They're hiding out in the mountains, but that's not enough. Like, we need to get my people to your city. And he's just like, I need to get to my city for my people, says Jerry. And I'll pass it to you there with that tension.
Oh, man. They split up.
Yeah. They would, wouldn't they?
They would. So the real question is, obviously, where does the girl go? And I think she's going to go with the Hegelander. So, Jerry returns to the city. He's obviously much closer to his destination than the Hegelanders are to theirs. He's like a day's walk away. Roughly a day and a half, I guess.
Yeah.
Because they walked for... So the carriage was like halfway into day one. Not even. And they walked. I don't know. Jerry's hurrying, so he gets there by that evening. And he demands to meet with the Baron. And I think I can just keep going with this. He goes in, meets with the Baron. On his way in, he says hi to Tommy. This little heart thing. It's like, hey, I'm glad you didn't die. Did the other two die? And it's like, no, they didn't die, but we saw the monster. I'm going to tell the Baron about it, so it's kind of redundant for me to tell it to you now, because that's... I mean, that's a story thing, though.
You'll hear about it from the newsboy who yells on the street corner.
So the guards go into the Baron's room, and he's... This is after dinner. He's kind of getting himself ready for bed, and they say, sir... You need to put your intimidating face on. Jerry has returned.
The other two are dead, aren't they? Mission was failure.
Boy, I didn't actually ask any follow-up questions. I just kind of came straight here, so I don't know if they're dead, but I don't... Yeah, he's not with them. I don't think he brought the horses, unless he may have left the horses at the front. I don't know. You can ask him. You just need to put your intimidating face on. I feel like my job is to just get you to talk to Jerry, like to tell you that he's here. Like, your job is, like, these questions are for Jerry.
Yeah. Is this an intimidating grimace real quick? And kind of like bares his teeth. Like, what do you think?
What do you want me to say, sir? Do you want the honest answer, or do you want to make you feel good?
Obviously, I want the honest answer. If it's not intimidating, then what's the point of doing it to intimidate someone?
You don't look intimidating, sir.
Oh, I knew it. Okay.
Try not showing your teeth. Just, like, do it, but don't show your teeth. Like, just kind of throw it away, you know? Just, like, don't even... Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you're just kind of like, it's almost like a vacant expression, I think, is what you should be going for. Like, vacant, but like kind of like a resting, angry face. I don't know, your face is very pleasant, but yeah.
Yes, having a resting, angry face requires a lot of work for me, I'll be honest.
Right, but the that's the effect you're trying to achieve. I know it's not resting for you, but like, it should appear to be a resting, angry face. Like, it's your just default. This is what your face is.
I can do this.
I know you can. Yeah, you were great this morning with that woman who stole the cow.
I was kind of impressed that she, like, had the cow, like, in, like, a sack. You know, like, she drank.
I know, what was that about? Like, did she think that it wasn't going to move? Like, what?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, people. Thank you. For...
All right, over to you.
So Jerry walks in, and the Baron is in his usual spot in his chair, and he's got his resting angry face.
Nice.
Jerry is quite intimidated, and is just like, "What news from beyond the wall? Did you make it to Hegeland, this foreign land?" And the guy's like, "No, didn't quite make it that far. Didn't need to. We were, you know, day and a half out, and you'll never guess what I saw. I saw a giant, and it was so massive that it blocked out the moon." And the Baron's just like, is this true?" And Jerry's just like, "Yeah, it's true. So I scampered on back to let you know that the giant is real. And that you should probably prepare for having to fight a bigger monster than trolls and ogres." And at this point, I feel like Baron Van Bendersnight would...
Bendersnight
would like completely break down.
The way I'm able to remember his name is like, I came up with it, but I came up with it because I was looking up at my bookshelf and I saw... Under the Banner of Heaven.
Uh-huh.
But, like, the banner part is, like, blocked out, so it just says B-A-N-N. And then I just kind of combined it with other sounds from it. So Bander is, like, kind of, like, banner plus the D from under. And then I just kind of Germaned the ending. Bandersnight.
Bandersnight. I feel like at this point he would not be able to maintain his intimidating persona and just have like a full-on panic attack.
Yeah, it's a giant the size of a mountain. You can't fight that.
It's like what do we do?
Okay. Unless you do some kind of like Star Wars thing where you wrap a rope around his legs, make him fall over. I feel like even there though, you're reaching.
Yeah, there's kind of no fighting that thing right now. Just like, okay, so what are we gonna do?
That kind of like, refutes how do we... your entire way of life. Like, you can't live in this city with that thing there.
Yeah, how do we deal with this? Ideas. Hit me with the ideas.
We stick our heads in the sand. And we pretend it doesn't happen. It's not happening.
We call that just... Plan B.
It's just you said ideas, and that's. We do that for a lot of things. You're going to pretend like, just because I'm vocalizing it, like normally we just kind of do it. You know, like the sewage problem, we have not addressed that in ages because we just kind of pretend like it's not happening because it's not affecting us. But
it's an impossible problem to solve. How are we supposed to...
That's what I'm saying.
How are we supposed to stop all of the sewage in the whole city from going to the slums?
We don't.
Like how... Exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah. But this is a giant... that might come and, like, I don't know, like, trip over my palace, and I don't want that.
Yeah, well, we can't stop it. This is where the comparison is. Am I explaining this right? Guards, are you getting this? Am I...
All right. Let's do that.
We can talk about other ideas, too. We can
circle back. Let's spitball some other ideas, but until then, let's go with... Head, it's in the sand. Okay, let's go with... where's that newspaper kid who, like, screams to the city? Let's get him in. All right, intimidating. All right, boy. We need to announce to the city that the folks who returned and they found that nothing was wrong with this... Nothing was wrong with the Hinglanders. He was just a stray castaway who made up a fantastical story in order to be returned home. And the city is actually fine. He just got lost in the woods. And let's wait a few days before you break the news to the city, because that would make more sense, because Hegeland's kind of far away. So, got that newspaper boy? For sure thing, sir. Is there a real story, or is that just the one that... Actually, no, he would have presented the kid with that as if it's a real story. Telling him to wait a couple days was a mistake on his part. But that's what they're going with. They're going with the good old cover-up, head-in-the-sand option.
That's their outward-facing policy.
Yep.
Is it their inward-facing, inner circle policy as well?
I think the inner circle might try to come up with some other ideas, but what are they...
They got a bulletin board. They might as well put a couple of little index cards on it.
Yeah, but they also are not coming up with any good ideas. This is a massive problem.
Yeah, I mean, like, the next option, I think, would be, like, let's fight it. And then the follow-up is, like, how? And it's like, I don't know. We find a way. It's like, all right, well, that's... Seems hard to do.
Yeah, it's a giant that can block out the moon.
And then one guy whose like name is, I don't know, Patrick or something, he's like, what if we take the city and move it somewhere else?
I like it. This guy's thinking outside the box.
Can't move the city. Do you mean like move, like pack up and move to like caves or something? Do you mean literally move the entire city? Like push the city.
I think we push it.
You know, we built all the houses. Why do we keep them? Let's just keep them moving somewhere else.
Okay, let's call that plan C now.
Oh, man.
But maybe we should have some sort of evacuation plans that, you know, people can calmly and efficiently depart from the city if the giant were to happen to come and discover us. And then we can hide out in the mountains like the Hegelanders are.
Ah, if we get some kind of early warning system that could help with that.
So, what do we do with that? Well, if it's a giant the size of the mountain, I think we'll see it from a little ways away. Is that enough? I'm sure the Hegelanders saw it from a ways away, but I'm sure it's also got massive legs and walks quite quickly.
Yeah, Jerry, how fast did that thing walk?
It was pretty far away. That doesn't answer the question,
Jerry. So like a horse, or?
I think faster than a horse.
Like a really fast horse?
I think it was faster than a really, really fast horse.
So what, like a bird?
Maybe, yeah, like there were some flying monsters that were flying away from it, and it seemed like they were outrunning it, so that's something.
Okay, so it's between horse and bird.
Yeah.
I think that's good. We can, someone write that down. Don't want to forget that.
We got information.
Somewhere between horse and bird. Oh, this is our crack team.
Who's turn? Is it your?
This is my best
turn?
And brightest.
I'll pass it to you, I think.
Yeah, I think it was. Okay, so then we have to pick up with the duo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Out in the wilderness. So at this point, they have made it to Hegeland, which of course is wrecked. But I mean, let's see. I'm thinking they're up on some like foothills, they're looking down, and they see that completely destroyed city. And then the guy, who I think still doesn't have a name, points to. Where would they hide? Would it be mountains, caves?
I think we said the mountains earlier, didn't you? Yeah.
Okay. So he points up to some mountains that are, you know, kind of nearby, and he's like, that's where they went. That's where we must go. And Zelly looks at the city, and it's like, wow, it's flat. It's just rubble. And she thinks about, like, what that could do, you know, that could happen to their city, the city that she grew up in. Could just be flattened in an instant. Okay, so they head off, and they travel, and they make it to the caves. And I guess the guy he explains, like, hey, I went to the Circle Soundies. Circe Soundies, I think it was. Circe Soundies?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they don't trust me exactly, but we've told them what our situation was. And one of their guards was with us, and, you know, he saw the monster. He kind of explains things that have happened previously. And then he tells his family, and maybe like two other families who are in this particular cave, to round up the others and tell them that we need to start heading off to that city because it's not safe here. We're too close to the giants' roaming grounds. So if he, like, decides to take a nap on this mountain, then the earthquake, like, the earth will tremble and the rocks, the caves will cave in, and these caves are not secure. So they say that they're going to go not all in one massive group, but in, you know, waves of, I don't know, somewhere between 5 and 20 people per group. You know, mm-hmm. single family up to, like, you know, 3-4 families maybe. Something like that. So, and they're like, hey, who's this? Also, Zelly introduces herself to her kind of people. And I will pass it to you kind of in the middle of what I'm doing here. But
okay.
Also, maybe kind of at the end. I don't know.
You're kind of at the end?
Very well, soon. I mean, I think, like, you could pick up in those caves or you could cut elsewhere is what I'm saying.
Oh, gotcha. Right. So, a couple days passed. The newspaper boys yelling, extra, hear all about it. Everything's fine. Turns out, everything's fine.
I love it when the news is, like, good, you know? So often, it's like, oh, look at this sewer problem. Oh, this lady stole a cow. It's like, come on, give me some good news, you know?
Don't you find it, like, a little, like, disconcerting that, like, the news is just saying everything's fine when there's a sewer problem and, like, ladies are stealing cows?
Like, she got off easy, you know? The judge didn't sentence her to life in prison like we were hoping.
Yeah, but, like, all I'm saying is maybe there's something ominous at work here.
You mean, like, there's some kind of secret cabal running our news and they're trying to cover up the sewage problem?
That's not what I'm saying. Like, just because, like, I'm skeptical doesn't mean I'm a conspiracy theorist.
What are you saying then? Because it sounds like
you're all I'm saying is maybe our leaders aren't telling us the whole story.
Oh, that does sound more reasonable. When you phrase it like that.
Yeah, and all I'm saying is, you know, maybe the official story is everything's fine. But maybe the real story is the cow thieves have our leaders in their pocket, and now they are really taking over and controlling this world that we live in.
You know what? Maybe I'm going to be a journalist and get to the bottom of this. Like, why is this kid our only source of news? We should have a second one. Maybe I could be that person. You know, I got a lot of free time, at least after my woodworking shop closes for the day.
Yeah, you should go ask some questions, you know? There's no harm in asking.
Okay. Yeah.
And if you happen to find out that maybe our media is controlled by a cabal, then the people deserve to know.
I have a question. Like, what if I wade into this murky, morally ambiguous pool of power and news, and I become consumed by it, and I kind of become part of the problem?
Hey, that can't happen to you.
But what if it does?
Hey.
Maybe I'm not strong enough.
If anyone is, it's you, man.
Thanks.
But also, someone's got to break the news about the cabal.
Cool. Well, if I find a cabal, I'll let you know.
I think you'll find one. Anyway, so days go by. Jerry's back at the
wall,
and eventually, I'm not truly giving the threat of the caves a little bit as much credit as they deserve. So actually, I'm just gonna hand it to you rather than.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you say about the cave?
Oh, I was going to have folks starting to arrive, but I felt like it was actually too soon.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was just going to jump into them leaving.
Yeah.
Cool. So, I'm going to say, first wave is friends of the guy we know and the girl we know. Because the guy wants to take a couple days to rest because he just walked 200 miles.
Yeah.
In like not that much time. So he just wants to take a minute. So the first group, maybe it's the first few groups. Maybe he's going to be the last group. Yeah, okay. He and the girl are going to be in the last group to go. So, first group heads out, and they get wrecked by a troll. And they can, the guys, Zelly can, and, all right, we got to name this guy.
Yeah, the Hegelander deserves a name.
Gnarl?
Gnarl?
Are you okay with Gnarl?
I'm okay with Gnarl. It's got to be like something that's not familiar, you know?
Yeah. So that has definitely a silent letter in front of the N, and you get to decide what it is. There's at least two options that I can think of. What were you going to go with?
I said I'm going with P personally.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, it could be. Oh, that's a good one, because, like, pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So they see, like, Gnarl and Zelly can see this, I said, a troll just go through this group of seven Hegelanders. And like,
as soon as they leave the cave, they can see it?
No. No, it's down in the kind of closer to where the city used to be.
Oh, gotcha.
So, like, they can't see it real well. Like, the troll is kind of big. You would use binoculars if you had them.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't, so they're just kind of relying on eyesight. And they can see, like, this troll come in and just swing its club, and there's people running around, and they're too far away to hear the screams, or like the snarls from the monster, the troll. But they see enough. They see some flashes of red, and it's a reminder that this is a dangerous place, even without the giant of giants, giant among giants. Yeah. So they all see that, all the groups, because that was the first one. They all see that. They're going to leave like a day apart, each of them. And they just kind of... It's not really a shrug. They mourn, of course. They're sad that these people that they knew didn't make it. But
death is too common now.
The plan doesn't change. Like, the people are leaving the next day, still pack up the night before, and they're like just hoping that they're luckier than those that went before them. Okay, over to you.
Okay. Jerry at this point is like, he's simultaneously like on the wall guard, but he's one of the few that knows enough that like the Baron keeps like inviting him to the thing for the brainstorming sessions. But things are getting rough. Like, one person is like suggesting that they build giant robots that are manned by two people that can get into a fist fight with the giant.
Why can't they just be controlled by one person?
Because they need to be two people to control each hand. And those two people, when they're working together, are having more going on than just the one person by themselves.
Follow-up question. If there's like a trio of people who all kind of gel really well together, could they possibly be in some kind of three-armed giant robot?
I want to say no, but I don't want to like shoot that down outright. Because I haven't seen Pacific Rim.
Oh, you haven't seen it? Yes, that is in the movie. I really enjoy Pacific Rim. It's like dumb blockbuster entertainment, but it's really good as that.
Yeah.
It's Mr. Del Toro doing kaiju versus robots. There is a three arms kind of... I don't know, Japanese or Korean. They're the Asian robot.
Okay.
Probably Japanese, because kaiju.
Yeah, I never saw the second one.
Oh, I didn't see the second one.
Oh, there's a three-armed one in the first one?
Yeah.
I missed that entirely.
Oh. Well, yeah, I mean, there is a trio. That might have been more obvious. But, I mean, you don't remember it, so I guess not.
Yeah.
But yeah, initially it looks like just a regular one. And the third arm is kind of like, if you put one of your arms, and like, if you have like your right hand touch your left shoulder,
uh-huh.
You get kind of that like crook, the little V. That's where the third arm lives.
Gotcha.
And then it just kind of busts out below one of the other arms, you know? So it's like, I think it's two on one side and one on the other side. I think that's right. So yeah, that's in there. That's funny that you were doing Pacific Rim stuff and then I apparently knew it a little too well.
Anyway, I don't think this idea will work. Jerry's just like, yeah, I don't think anything will work. I think we're our best chances, unfortunately. Head in the sand, hope the monster doesn't attack.
It is insane that is their best plan.
It is.
But it does, oh man, it does ring a little true, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? And eventually one day, Jerry's at the wall. I can end it here. If that's cool.
That's fine with me. Yeah, I don't know what I would do. So I will pass on having one last turn.
But Hegelanders start to appear. Some of the groups start making it all the way.
Good.
Yeah, and Jerry opens the gates for them. He knows what he saw, and he knows that this is all that they can really offer, and this is going to break the story. Because like the official story is Higgleland is fine, and that guy was just lost. But now that they're arriving quite publicly, there's no masking that side of the story. Like,
yeah, Higgleland family is very clearly refugees,
mm-hmm.
or maybe emaciated. Is that the right word?
Mm-hmm. Eventually, Jerry's going to get called in. I'm going to have it so Azel and the Eagle End we know eventually make it as well.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and they're all summoned, and the Baron's just like, okay. People know that Eagle End is destroyed. They don't know why. So we still, unfortunately, don't have a good plan against the giant. If it comes, it's kind of run for the hills, like you guys did.
Every man for himself.
Yeah, but until then, like, we do need to maintain some sense of calm, so I need you all to keep this very important secret, okay? Can you guys do that for me? And I was like, yep, I guess we have no other choice. It's like, great. And that secret is that I am, in fact, intimidating, all right? That's the public word, okay? It's like, I know you guys know me well enough to know that, like, I'm putting on an act here, but, like, the people need to think that there's no giant and I am an intimidating leader. Can we all do that? And Jerry hated that, but he kept it a secret, as he had promised. All right, Jeff, what did you think of this story?
This story scares me.
Yeah.
I feel scared when I listen to this.
There's, like, it's so strange how the story can make me laugh, but also, like, it just, there's something deeply existential about it that is not soothing.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely balances humor and hopelessness, mm-hmm. I think, pretty well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, overall, I walk away from this being like, man, it rings true to me. Specifically, what I'm talking about is like how ill-equipped the city's leadership is to deal with this mountain-sized giant. Like the best and brightest in the city came together and had several meetings.
And the best they can think of is to keep it a secret.
Yeah. They're just sticking their heads in the sand.
Yeah.
And it makes me think about our leaders in the real world and how maybe I don't actually have that much faith in them. So that's where it scares me, is that it feels true.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's some funny jokes.
One that I was thinking of was the punching of the guard to try to intimidate the people that are already on board with the plan.
Yes, yes. Very funny scene. Kind of long, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, but I had fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just that he's more invested in his own persona than anything, really, in a way that
the
sad.
Baron von Bandersnatch.
Yeah, is that how you say his name?
Yes, that is how I say his name. As how do you say his name?
Differently every time. Is there anything in particular you want to talk about with the story?
So, one moment that stuck out to me was when the trio of, I guess, heroes, Jerry, Gnarl, and Zelly, their carriage gets attacked, and then you just pause. And then I ask, did they just die? Did you just kill these characters? And it sticks out to me because, like, in a movie, there'd be no question that these characters have plot armor and they're not going to die. You can't kill the heroes.
Yeah.
But in our improv stories, no one has plat armor. You could have killed them.
We have killed characters like that seemed fairly relevant before. Like, oh yeah, it's true. We don't have that plot armor necessarily.
Yeah, I love how wildly unpredictable our stories can be. And just the idea that we could kill them is kind of enough.
So Jeff, where are we going next time?
I can tell you as soon as I bring up my notes. I have it written down right here. Next time, we go to the outskirts of New Orleans, where a young real estate agent tries to sell a house that is arguably haunted.
That's not Florida at all.
It's not Florida. We are going back to Florida later in the season, though.
Oh, good. Well, I'm going to say bye, so that way I can get to the part where we go back to Florida even faster. So, goodbye.
Goodbye.